conference call. Hare Krishna, I welcome all the devotees to our Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call of our Friday session, Prabhupada Lilamrita. And today, we are very fortunate to have with us Her Grace Lalitangi Radha Mataji to give the summary of Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita Chapter 10. Hare Krishna Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Mataji, for joining the session and giving your very valuable association and time this morning. I now hand over the call to you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Shyam Supriya Mataji, for conducting these sessions and dedicating this Friday for remembering Srila Prabhupada. Very nicely you coordinated the whole reading of Prabhupada Lilamrita and also many lectures we listened to. So very grateful for this service of yours, which all of us are very benefited, Mataji. Thank you so much. And I offer my humble obeisances to all the assembled Vaishnavas. So we can begin with prayers. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganaragunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitam Cham He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priyem Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityanandam Sri Advaita Gadadara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat krupatam aham vande shri gurum dinatarinam paramananda madhavam shri chaitanyam ishwaram. So we are discussing today chapter 10 titled as This Moment to Us Hour of Need, and it is so ironical that we need this. What is presented in this chapter is very much needed for the present day society, especially at this hour. And we saw in the last chapter how Srila Prabhupada underwent so many struggles, and then he's alone after the League of Devotees is closed. He's trying here and there, and then inspired by the dream of His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Thakur Prabhupada. So he's taking sannyas initiation along with, I think, one more or two more, I'm not sure, Muni Maharaj. And he was given by Keshav Maharaj. So that's where the chapter 9 ended. And so we can see, we can compare like this, that, you know, to bring Ganga to this world, Bhagirath has to do, Herculean, Himalayan, whatever, like we can put all adjectives, still it's not enough. He did so much efforts. So that's why there's a saying, if someone puts so much efforts for something, it's called Bhagiratha Prayatna. It's a common thing. I've heard my grandmother say this often. So much tapasya and austerity with single-pointed attention. And we can see that because of Srila Prabhupada's Bhagiratha Prayatna, that we are able to delve now into the Ganges of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we are very grateful to Srila Prabhupada and also to his disciples for chronicling this important aspect of history of Kali Yuga. A brief period of Srila Prabhupada, how it has been. We are very grateful for these Prabhupada Leelamrita books so that we can get a glimpse of his life. So after, this is how the chapter starts. I'm sorry for the very badly made slides. It was done just some time back, thanks to my Prabhu who helped in this. So our capacity of presenting the matter in adequate language, especially a foreign language, will certainly fail. And there may be so many literary discrepancies in spite of our honest attempt to present it in the proper way. But we are sure that with all our faults in this connection, the seriousness of the subject matter will be taken into consideration, and the leaders of the society will still accept this on account of its being an honest attempt for glorifying the Almighty Great, so much now badly needed. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is how the chapter starts. So Bhaktivedanta Maharaj Swami, he was called. Nobody called him Abhay Babu. Even the friends and everybody addressed him either Maharaj or Swamiji. And he, with some of the Keshwaji Math's devotees, they went on a preaching tour, Agra, Kanpur, Jhansi and Delhi. And we know that he was renting a place in Vamshi Gopalji temple. He took sannyas and now he wanted to write and print. That is his main goal. But as we know, he had no money. We know that how he was struggling to print, buy paper. And then the printer was not paid the money. And finally, he said that I can't do this anymore. And in fact, he asked him, what is your motivation to do this? So where he had money, but he had the idea. One time Srila Prabhupada said that the one thing is that if I wanted to do something, I did not think whether it was possible or not. I would try anyway. So with this in mind, he was still printing only Back to Godhead magazines and distributing on his own. And he was covering the cost. And if anybody would give money, then that would go for printing the next issues. And then a librarian, he advised Bhaktivedanta Swami to write books instead of newspapers, which are thrown away. Then a second time, an Indian army officer also told him the same thing, that his subject matter is so nice that it is not worth of a newspaper or two pages magazine. You just read it and throw it. It's not like that. So he needs to put print books. And what he took it as? He took it as a revelation from his spiritual master. So we see in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sikshashtakam, Shunya Idam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Virahename. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Govinda everywhere. And Srila Prabhupada saw his spiritual master and his order, how to carry that out. Ultimately, he's seeing Krishna, but he's seeing this everywhere. So this is what, the spiritual master may not come directly and tell us, but when we want, the instructions is given to us through the devotees whom we interact with, or even an outsider or anybody, but we need to be keen to take it. So Srila Prabhupada was always conscious of his divine grace, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So he took it as, this is what my spiritual master wanted. And there is one more incident that he took it like that. We know that how he walked throughout his life. His morning walks are very famous. There are conversations and, you know, his disciples couldn't keep up with him. So this happened when he got the stroke during the memorial day, and there was everything was closed. They found one doctor who came, and looking at Prabhupada and, you know, making some diagnosis, he said that this man needs to walk. So the disciples were thinking, walk? Ridiculous it is. I mean, he's having a stroke and he's paralyzed from neck below. What is he saying? But Srila Prabhupada took it as, as an instruction, and he started doing it every day. And he also said that as one ages old, the gases that are produced in different parts of the body, they go and they produce the, you know, different pains, and that causes the old age pains, which is back pain and knee pain. And by walking swiftly every day, these gases are evenly distributed throughout the body. And we can see that, you know, if you see Srila Prabhupada's photograph, you cannot tell that he's 70 years old. His skin, of course, and also externally. And if we look at his activities, we can never say that, you know, he's 70 years old. So he was looking wherever he saw his Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and how can I fulfill this order? So now he got a thing that he wanted to write books. But what? Now he chose Srimad Bhagavatam, because Bhagavad Gita is brief. That's why we see that Bhagavad Gita, he did not write. Bhagavad Gita was printed in 1970 after he started the movement, and first manuscript was there. We saw that how it was stolen. Then he rewrote it. Actually, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya and I think Nectar of Devotion were the first books that were available even before Bhagavad Gita. So now he considered Srimad Bhagavatam because that's elaborate. And also Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur had both written Bengali commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam. Many of Vaishnava Acharyas have commented on it. And we know that how Lord Chaitanya, when he was in the name-giving ceremony, when they put the Bhagavatam books and the coins and other things, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nimai Pandit, he crawled and he not only touched Bhagavatam, but took Bhagavatam and hugged it to his chest. And we also know that how Lord Chaitanya and Gadadhar Pandit used to discuss the history of Prahlad Maharaj and Dhruva Maharaj hundreds and hundreds of times. So Chaitanya himself recommended this. So he thought that this is the book that I need to work on. And he was thinking that I would translate and write a commentary, and then that would form the basis of his preaching, and then he can go. Always he was thinking to go abroad. He would not be empty-handed. So this was going on. And then now he was in Vamshi Gopalji temple, and from Radha Damodar temple, Gaur Chand Goswami said that there are some rooms that are available which he could come and live there. And immediately, Srila Prabhupada was very happy at that prospect, because that is the eternal home of Jeev Goswami and Rupa Goswami. And he took the rooms, but the rooms were in so bad condition that so much of repair work had to be done. And then electricity work has to be done, at least for a fan and a bulb to put in there to make the room livable, but that would cost money. So he didn't have any money to have, extensive repairs made, but he didn't want to let this opportunity go. So he took the rooms at 5 rupees per month. So he started paying the rent for the room. And then his idea was, as and when I get money, I will repair it and then I can move in. So then So we know that how Radha Damodar has the largest collection of all Goswami's literatures, over 2,000 separate manuscripts, and many of them many hundred and thousand years, hundred at least few hundred years old. And then the deities are personally worshipped by the Goswamis. The Goswamis' Samadhi Mandirs are there. And we know that, you know, Giriraj, that Krishna personally gave to Sanatan Goswami is there. So he wanted to move there. So, but he was reminded of one more instruction that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, that a preacher should not remain in the holy places in a secluded place, but should go to the cities and preach. And in fact, he was commuting to Delhi with that idea in mind. And it was very, even now, I mean, I have not visited much, but few times only, but I have heard so many people telling that commuting from Delhi to Vrindavan in the train and then taking the bus in the Delhi is so hard. But Srila Prabhupada took that thing because he wanted to live in the cities and preach. But where would he live? We saw that how he was moving from one place to another place with no fixed residence anywhere. And then there came Krishna Pandit. His father, Jyoti Prasad Pandit, had also always been inviting sadhus and giving them place to live and, you know, giving them prasad and, you know, helping them with their mission. So that was what his father did. And in fact, when Srila Prabhupada came before to Delhi, his father had hosted him. So Krishna Pandit, following his father's, you know, legacy, he also agreed to give him a room in the Radha Krishna temple in the Chippiwada neighborhood of Old Delhi. And Chippiwada neighborhood, that is where it is close to Jama Masjid Mosque, and that's a very, very crowded area. So prior to partitions, the India 1947, India-Pakistan partition, Muslims were living there in large numbers. Then when they vacated, many Punjabis, they came and settled there. So Chippiwada is so narrow that if the lanes, you know, only cycles can go through, not even, you know, rickshaws. And the two, I mean, the houses on top of tenements, they call it, opposite side of the road, their balconies are so close that they actually form a roof over the street with very less sunlight coming in. So the balconies of the two opposite houses are only inches apart. And one could very easily jump from one balcony to another up to Jaba Masjid. That was a very, very congested area. And he gave, you know, Bhaktivedanta Swami and a small place. And how was it? It was just a bare room, and there was some kind of a pyramid where he can you know, lean his back. And knowing that there is nothing for him, Krishna Pandit got him a small mat and a low desk. So he would lean on the pyramid, sit on the mat and start and, you know, use the table. And there was only one single light in that room. That's also dangling, a bulb that is dangling. And there is a metal shade that is hung from a cord. Like it can be raised or lowered. And that is the only piece of furniture there. So, but Srila Prabhupada was happy. Santushta Sadatam Yogi. So he wanted a place to write, and he got it. And he started writing Srimad Bhagavatam. But simultaneously, he's in Delhi. Whenever he's in Delhi, he has a place. So he started writing for Back to Godhead magazines also. And Krishna Pandit was helping him with the magazine. So he had some free time to begin Srimad Bhagavatam. And yeah, before I go on, you can imagine if it is that much crowded, how they were not soundproof walls like now. And Srila Prabhupada lived there, and it's a temple area, but many parts of the temple were occupied by so many domestic families. And Srila Prabhupada is often hearing, you know, the domestic noises while he is translating and you know, doing japa. So, oh, it's not that. Okay, so Krishna Pandit explains his thing, that how he's getting up at 1 o'clock in the morning and he's translating. Let me see if we can go to Vedabase and read that. Yeah, so okay, I think it comes after this, but yeah, so Srila Prabhupada is writing this in the guest book. I am pleased to write herein that I have come to Delhi from my headquarters, which is 1/859 Keshi Ghat, Vrindavan, UP, purely on spiritual mission to propagate the cult of devotional service of the Lord. And I'm more pleased to mention herewith that Sriman Sri Krishna Sharma, Hari Bhaktanudas, this is the name Srila Prabhupada gave him. Because see, Bhaktivedanta Swami was indeed gratified by Krishna Pandit's sincere help, and in appreciation, he gave him an addition to his name, Hari Bhaktanudas, one who serves the Lord's devotee. Then he, after 6 months, he wrote this appreciation. So continuing here, Hari Bhaktanudas has provided me a suitable room for my literary activities. I am publishing an English fortnightly magazine of the name Back to Godhead from this place, and the Nawal Prem Sabha, of which Sri Krishna Ji is the honorary secretary, is arranging for my daily lectures on Srimad Bhagavat. Late Pandit Jyoti Prasad Sharma, father of Sri Krishna Ji, was also known to me, and during his lifetime, whenever I used to come to Delhi, late Pandit Jyoti Prasad Ji would provide me with a residential place. His good son is also following in the footprints of his noble father, and as secretary of the Nawal Prem Sabha, he is doing good service in propagating Ramanama all over the city. And also he wrote that in neat English script, Bhaktivedanta Swami went on to write that in his opinion, temple should be used solely for educating the public in spiritual values. And it was his personal mission to organize temples for that service. Temples are not meant for ordinary householders engaged simply in the matters of animal propensities. Those who are actually engaged in the service of the Lord deity, the predominator of the temple, can only be allowed to remain in the temple, otherwise not. Trying to compose Srimad Bhagavatam at Chippiwada while surrounded by sometimes noisy families with their non-devotional domestic habits had impressed upon him the importance of not using a temple as an apartment house. So, yeah, whatever Krishna provides, he's ready to accept. Then at 1959, Srila Prabhupada read an article about a Nobel Prize winner given to two scientists who did a research in physics. And they suggested that there could be an anti-material particle and then an anti-material world also. So obviously the scientists are not telling that having spiritual world in mind. But when Srila Prabhupada heard that, immediately he thought, yes, there is anti-material particle and anti-material world. And he used this terms of physics and science to explain the spiritual world and our efforts to go there. So it's a beautifully composed. That's what was is composed in Easy Journey to Other Planets, the book. Of course, he did not have money to publish it, but he had written the book extensively on this. And he had sent it to few important people. One person in Gujarat, he's a professor in science. His name was Dr. Naik. And he said, "This is amazing. What you have written makes so much sense that you're connecting spirituality through science. So I wish that your books be read far and wide." And then there was this Banerjee who also read this book and he was so impressed. And he requested Srila Prabhupada that if you could come to my house on Sunday evenings and do some katha. So Srila Prabhupada would go to his house. There were 20 or 30 people and he would speak for 1 or 2 hours. Then, you know, he would sing the Hare Krishna Mahamantra with kartals and harmonium. But all of them who came were 60 and 70, or one was even 90 years old. And Dr. Banerjee noted that Srila Prabhupada used to give, after explaining things, for more reference, he used to give links to some information from the commentaries also. But Banerjee says that is for few people who are scholarly in that group. Not everyone could appreciate that. So his observation is very significant. So it was a very enjoyable gathering because he made the difficult things very easy. And he explained everything to all of us according to our needs. He knew that this much is for this person and this much is intended for this man, this much for the others. Means he knows how to give, how much to give, and whom to give what. I mean, of course, otherwise, you know, we are hearing Srila Prabhupada's lectures and we can very well agree to this fact that what Srila Prabhupada's lectures are, he has no storytelling techniques or, you know, nothing. But he just talks philosophy in a palatable way. That's why he's observing that, you know, difficult things are made very easy. And Srila Prabhupada did that house program for 1 year. And after that, since he had other things to concentrate on, he asked Dr. Banerjee to continue. But he said that, you know, I'm a government man and I was going out. So then it stopped. But when Srila Prabhupada came first and he after the program, he would take little rest. And Dr. Banerjee would request, please, take some food in my house. And Prabhupada said that I'm not supposed to eat anything that's cooked by others. Then once his wife came and then she asked that, please let me cook. Then Prabhupada agreed and his wife used to make some prasad for him. So when he continued the BTG articles, which was very, very relevant to that particular time. So it was Pandit Nehru and, you know, everybody knew how Nehru was different from Gandhi because he was more towards modernization and he was not towards organized religion or mathas or temples or like that. So Nehru complained about, you know, in the name of religion, the public, the religious cheaters, they used money and then they collected money and they used for you know, criminal purposes and things like that. So Srila Prabhupada is saying that, of course, you know, very nicely, although Pandit Nehru had been right in warning of a religious fraud, the warning could not be effective without a thorough reform of spiritual institutions. And that reform could be accomplished only with the cooperation of government leaders. So there has to be a spiritual reform and government leaders should cooperate with this. This was Prabhupada's answer to Nehru's acquisition about religious leaders. So he is saying that I had written to Nehru, asked him to take up the study of Bhagavad Gita. But then Nehru is, because of lack of a spiritual knowledge, Nehru is thinking that, you know, he thought that the League of Devotees is also one such matas or temples, which is giving headache to him. So, and Srila Prabhupada is telling, if these temples and institutions are headache for Nehru, then there shouldn't be headache in other parts of the world where there are no temples and this matas. But he says that The same thing under a different label has become the cause of headache for other European and Asian statesmen. The unbridled youngsters of those countries, under the name of Teddy Boys in England, the rebels without cause in America, and the half-strong in Germany, the leather jackets in Sweden, the children of the sun in Japan, and the style boys in USSR are some of the byproducts of a godless civilization. And that is a root cause of all headache that requires a thorough treatment. So how, you know, logical it is, Srila Prabhupada, and how brave he is putting things. There was no internet at that time, and all the statistics, you can imagine, Srila Prabhupada was up to date. And he didn't have money even to buy a newspaper. So yeah, this is what I wanted to write. So Krishna Pandit is saying that he used to translate Srimad Bhagavatam before dawn, about 3 a.m. So there was not, in the beginning, there was no typewriter, but then he arranged a portable typewriter. He would do his daily work and then cook his food himself. I arranged raw materials for his cooking. Sometimes he used to come to my family asking my wife to get some food. Sometimes he would also bathe at 5 or 6 in the afternoon. Every day he was typing, and he himself was reading some Bhagavatam, and he was going down in the temple for darshan. Then he was going outside, sometimes returning at 2 or 4 in the afternoon. Then he was typing and sending the proofs of back to Godhead to a place and checking them. He was doing by hand all this type of work. His main activity was typing many hours a day. All glories to that lotus hand and lotus fingers. I mean, how much amount of effort Srila Prabhupada single-handedly took just typing. And then, you know, because of which we are able to get everything in just one click. And also after typing the manuscripts, he kept it stacked. He didn't have any idea where will money come, how he can print it. But he has kept it in stacks and used stones as paperweights. So this is a Chippiwada temple that now I think ISKCON has acquired this. And there's a small temple room. We can see the deities here. And how, you know, Srila Prabhupada used that typewriter and he was typing, and this room was hardly furnished. And his whole thing was typing and writing. And I mean, this was a low desk. And this is the first publication of Bhagavatam. Probably he must have illustrated it on his own. The first copies of Bhagavatam, the purports and the introduction especially. So this is where the title of this chapter comes from. So in the introduction, we can see for Srimad Bhagavatam, he gives a 50-page synopsis of Lord Chaitanya's life, which he took from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's commentary on Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat. So he combined both and gave a 50-page synopsis. And what he explained in that is Lord Chaitanya's life's philosophical confrontations, divine ecstasy, and his inauguration of Sankirtan movement, and the congregational chanting of the holy name. And why he did that? Because Lord Chaitanya's life and teachings is what he thought that could help the humanity. So help for humanity in this momentous hour of need lay in the Vedic literature and especially in Srimad Bhagavatam. So Lord Chaitanya's life is the moving Bhagavatam, and that is where he writes this in the introduction, that if at all, momentous hour of need is that, you know, it's a turning point or an important and insignificant event that is called the momentous hour. So back in 1960s, he felt that, you know, very much required. The Srimad Bhagavatam is very much required. And now Kali has, how much it has progressed in all parts of walks of life, and how much more it is important at this time of COVID. And I mean, there is so much chaos and so much uncertainty in everyone's heart and mind, and mental problems and other things soaring. Now is the time when people really require Srimad Bhagavatam. And he wrote this and he's thinking about, he wanted to distribute in mass. Why? Because we know that Bengal, West Bengal is still now, like, you know, West Bengal and Kerala, the two states are almost always communist parties win there. So how come the communist parties got so much influence there? They did not come from Russia here and do anything, just that they printed their literatures, communist literatures, and then they distributed it widely in Bengal, and people started reading it, getting together, having meetings, and that's how it became so popular. By not one person coming from Russia, but distributing their literatures. And Srila Prabhupada thought that if a mundane idea and a party can become so famous, why not the transcendental literatures? And what the transcendental literature are giving is out of this world. It's a solution for all the problems. And any sane person, when reading this, they can relate to that. So that was his idea. Then it was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami's Vyasa Puja, and he came back to Vrindavan, and there a few of his god brothers met, and they were doing observing that ceremony. So he wrote the poem, which some appreciated and some were incensed. But he, this poem is from his heart. We can see, you know, it's very nice. Oh shame, my dear brothers, aren't you embarrassed? In the manner of businessmen, you increase your disciples. Our master said to preach, let the neophytes remain inside the temples and simply ring the bells. But just take a good look at the terrible situation that has arisen. Everyone has become a sense enjoyer and has given up preaching. From the seas, across the earth, penetrate the universal shell. Come together and preach this Krishna consciousness. Then our master's service will be in proper order. Make your promise today. Give up all your politics and diplomacy. If the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati could join and preach together, there was every chance that they could create a spiritual revolution within the sinful world. That had been the hope of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and Bhaktivedanta Swami expressed that hope in his Vyasa Puja offering. When will that day come when a temple will be established in every house, in every corner of the world? When will the High Court judge be a Gaudiya Vaishnava with Tilaka beautifully decorating his forehead? When will a Vaishnava winning oaths be elected president of the land and preaching be spread everywhere? So, I mean, he was not just writing this to incite his god brothers, but he really wanted everyone to get together and do something. But if they were not going to do it, then he's going to try alone. He's already trying and he's going to go ahead and do it. So that's how this chapter ends. And then in 1961 of January, one of his Delhi friends showed him an announcement for the Congress of Cultivating Human Spirit. That's a convention that is held in Japan and in Tokyo. And so they were inviting international participants for it. So he wrote to the sponsors and then he proposed a speech. Actually, he wrote that speech. How should one cultivate human spirit? This is the title of that. And after receiving that essay, they were super impressed. And then immediately they said that we are very happy to have you. And what are the further ideas? Share with us. I mean, what are you proposing to do in this convention? What will be your contribution or your exhibit? Then that's when he took the thing from the 10th canto, 20th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. We have a book, The Light of Bhagavatam. That is a description of autumn in Vrindavan. And so there is a, for each season and phenomenon that is there, the autumn season that's happening, there is a parallel teaching to it. Like it speaks about the materialists, the politicians, and you know, the social system and the kings and how sense enjoyers, the grahasthas, the vanapras, that is actually a comparison to the social anomalies, sometimes also glorifying a saintly person's teachings, all from the autumnal happening in Vrindavan. So this is very picturesque, and immediately he entitled that the light of Bhagavat. And Bhaktivedanta Swami worked quickly to produce a 20,000 word manuscript, 50 lessons for 50 illustrations. So 50 illustrations, that is the picturesque description, and then he is writing the lesson for each one of them. So this, he made this and then he sent it to them, and they were like very impressed, and they said that the moment you land here, we will pay your boarding and lodging here, your hotel here, and we will also arrange your lectures in other parts of Japan, in the other cities, and he can be there for 1 month at least, and explaining this and telling his concepts, whatever he has got it, sharing his knowledge with others. But what is stopping now was the ticket fare. So basically the ticket fare was, I think at that time, 3,000 rupees, which was very huge. And Srila Prabhupada first wrote to that Skindia Steamship Company, which said that they said that they can sponsor half of the airfare for US for Srila Prabhupada. So he wrote to them telling that going to Japan is less than half of the US fare. But no reply came from them. Then again, there was another one person, I forgot his name. He said that he would like to sponsor Srila Prabhupada to go to South America, but maybe one-way trip. So again, he was telling, this is like less than one-way trip to South America, and please sponsor me a ticket to go to Japan. Then I think one more person he asked, he was, trying with all acquaintances, and he wrote to the government telling that how he is representing the knowledge of the scriptures and the Indian culture, and he should be given a ticket. The government should sponsor him. He wrote personally to Dr. Radhakrishnan, but he got a reply telling that he couldn't, he got a reply in negative. But he went ahead and had a personal interview with him. And even then he was told the same thing, that the government cannot sponsor because this is a private event and it is not a government of Japan event. So government cannot sponsor. And in fact, Radhakrishnan has said that he was also given an invitation, and they have told that they would sponsor his ticket. So after hearing this, Srila Prabhupada is writing to that person, the president of the Japan convention, that that is so moving. I think we should read that. So we see how Srila Prabhupada is writing Srimad Bhagavatam, the introduction to the Bhagavatam, and how he's pondering upon, this is a poem that he has written, and this is a Japan episode, and 50 pictures. Everything went smoothly between Bhaktivedanta Swami and sponsors in Japan. The problem was to raise the travel fare. He approached the likely sources, writing to the central government's Ministry for Scientific Research and Cultural Affairs. He presented his certificate from Mr. Nakano and explained his position as a sannyasi. So before that, when he sent this, they really liked the idea, and they gave him a certificate that he can come and join him there. So in late March, the ministry sent him a form to complete and return. Time was getting short. On March 29, he wrote to the vice president, Dr. Radhakrishnan. Basically, this is, I think, in April. No, in May. So, Yeah, so he's trying all the possibilities. Yeah, Bridgerton S. Mohata is the one who wanted to sponsor him for South America. And then he also wrote to him. And on the same day he wrote that, he also mailed his completed form to the Ministry for Scientific Research. And whether he's asking that, did he use a donation from scientific, from the Government of India donation before he said that? Before this, I never asked the ministry for any financial assistance as there was no need for it. As sannyasi, I can ask for financial help when there is absolute necessity. Our life is dedicated to render service to the humanity at large for reviving the dormant spiritual consciousness. So he's writing how, like, you know, he has already sent Mr. Nakano the first 20 illustrative ideas. He has already sent the ideas, and he's writing Japan is famous for artistic work. He wrote, and India is famous for spiritual culture. We should now combine. And so, see, Mr. Nakano assured Bhaktivedanta Swami that they would be eager to meet him at Haneda Airport. They would be readily recognizable since they would be holding a flag. And if he liked, he could stay in Japan for an entire month and hold local meetings after the scheduled convention. Mr. Nakano also asked a favor of Bhaktivedanta Swami to solidify relations with the mayors of three Japanese cities. He asked that Bhaktivedanta Swami send letters to the mayors requesting their full support of the Human Spirit Congress. Bhaktivedanta Swami immediately complied. There was no email, there was no WhatsApp. Everything is nail mail. So by now it was April and no money had come. So, and he's writing, he turned to Mr. Nakano in disappointment. On April 18, he wrote, I am in due receipt of your letter of the 9th instant and I am grateful to you for all that you have said for me. I am a humble creature and I am just trying to do my bit in this connection because I was so ordered by my spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj. While I am feeling too much ecstasy for the reception arrangement you are doing for me, I beg to inform you that my passage expenses, which is near about ₹3,500, is not yet settled. I submitted one application to the Government of India for help, and the copy of my application is also sent herewith. I also wrote a private letter to Dr. S. Radhakrishnan in this connection, and the reply which I have received is also enclosed herewith. All these are not very encouraging for me. I therefore saw the vice president today personally, but he says the same thing as he has written in this in his letter. Although the matter is not yet hopeless altogether, I am disturbed in my mind thinking, what shall I do in case the government denies to help? I am therefore seeking your good advice in this connection. Dr. S. Radhakrishnan said to me that you had also invited him to attend your congress, and he opines that the passage expenses might have been paid by you. Basically, you know, Dr. Radhakrishnan is saying that they are paying for me, so they might be paying for you also. Yeah, So he's writing that, you know, I have no hope, and if the government does not think, then it will be a dream only. See, as a sannyasi, I have no personal purse for expenditure. Under the circumstances, if the government denies to help for the passage, then I will have to ask for the same from you. Otherwise, my going to the Congress will end in dream only. I have very little faith in the dealings of the politicians, and specifically of the Indian politicians. So on April 20, he cabled Mr. Nakano. I think it is telegrammed, if I'm right. As you have developed a deep love for me, I dare to ask you to send me financial help to take me to Japan. I think you can immediately instruct your embassy in Delhi to do the needful and dispatch me to Japan on your behalf. I'm feeling too much to meet you and the Congress so that we can build up a solid institute for spiritual cultivation. I shall await your instruction by cable to fix up my program. But Mr. Nakano could not help, and Bhaktivedanta Swami's effort ended in dream only. So it was all so close, but because of lack of money for the ticket fare, he couldn't go. But he was not discouraged. So then, after actually in July 1962, he changed his residence to Radha Damodar Temple. Basically, for 3 years, he has been paying that 5 rupees a month room rent for 3 years. And the room is, you know, we know this. We have seen, I forgot to take pictures of this room. Like after the, when Srila Prabhupada went to went there to recuperate. We can see he took some disciples also, and we have a picture of Srila Prabhupada taking prasadam there. But initially, how was the room? 7 feet by 15 feet with smooth plaster walls and a floor of sandstone squares of uneven sizes, the same as the stone tiles cemented in front of the samadhi of Rupa Goswami. The room was furnished with a small low desk, a kusha mat, and a wooden cot with a rope woven surface to lie on. The main room was connected to the kitchen by a 10-foot long veranda, which faced the courtyard, and from his kitchen, he could see the samadhi of Rupa Goswami. So, I mean, more description is given that how he had to plaster the walls, and, you know, he was collecting money for it took 3 years for him to get some money to get the work done and get the electricity installed for a light, for a bulb and a fan. So, but then he was now living in the temple of Jiva Goswami, where great souls like Goswamis Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Goswami, and Jiva Goswami had all gathered, taken prasadam, chanted, and discussed Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. It was the best place to work on Srimad Bhagavatam. This was more secluded, but than the Vamshi Gopal temple. But there, you know, he had maybe. I mean, this was comparatively, I mean, in the summer times, it was so unbearably hot that you couldn't even stay there in the afternoons. And then he would open the lattice at that time and then switch on the fan. So what was his schedule is that at 1 a.m. he would get up and begin writing. And then since it's Vrindavan, 4 a.m. the temple pujari would wake, turn on an electric light, and with a long pole, clear the bats from the rafters. So 5 a.m. after waking the deities, then they would perform Mangalarti. So Srila Prabhupada, who's writing at that time, would often come and attend the Mangalarti. And then after that, he would sit in his room and chant Japa. And there would be early morning visitors. They all would greet Jai Radhe, Radhe Jai Radhe Shyam, and pay their obeisances and then go to pay obeisances to the Goswami Samadhi Mandir. And that way, you know, they would go. But Srila Prabhupada, when he was there, he was constantly praying to the predecessor acharyas for guidance. The intimate direction he received from them was an absolute dictation, and no government, no publisher, nor anyone else could shake or diminish it. Rupa Goswami wanted him to go to the West. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati wanted him to go to the West. Krishna had arranged that he be brought to Radha Damodar temple to receive their blessings. So he came to Radha Damodar temple not to live there in their association, but to leave Radha Damodar and Vrindavan and to deliver the message of acharyas to the other parts of the world. So this is how, like, there's a description of how it would become very, very hot. And then again in the evening, there would be so many people coming and there will be evening kirtans. And everybody would Vrindavan know him as a scholarly devotee. So Vrindavan is a place for retirement. So although as yet he had no means for traveling even as far as Japan and no means for printing books, these were the goals for which he worked. Go to the West and preach and print books. But he had no money for both of them. He had not come to Vrindavan to die and return to Godhead. Rather, he had come because it was the ideal place to gain spiritual strength for his main life's work. The exact shape of his future mission, Bhaktivedanta Swami did not know, but he did know that he must prepare for himself for preaching Srimad Bhagavatam to the English-speaking Western world. He must become a perfectly equipped instrument of his masters. And if they desired, they would send him. Yes, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. He solna Sacharup Maharaj ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Yeah, continue, Mataji. Please continue.
No. Thank you, Vinita Mataji. Yes, this was the picture I was looking for. Now we have this nicely done in Radha Damodar temple. Like, this is the size of the room. This is where he's sitting and writing, and this is a cot that he used.
Just want to share that. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you,
Mataji. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much, Laltangi Mataji, for giving this very wonderful summary of chapter 10th, Mataji. After listening, Mataji, I got a question, Mataji. So we see that Gandhi, Nehru, especially Nehru, his father, Motilal Nehru, they all came from Hindu Orthodox families.
Brahmin families, basically.
Yeah, and they are from UP, Uttar Pradesh also. So, and we see Gandhiji reading Bhagavad Gita. And how God Nehru cultivated this, westernizing this, our culture? How he got into this? Because surrounded him, he got not this much people, but how he cultivated this, in spite of Srila Prabhupada warning him also.
Yeah, I mean, that's we can see that that is the nature of Kali Yuga, and especially, you know, in the 60s, people wanted to, everything was Western, right? The Western craze started there then only, that how the West is developed and India is not developed because of, spending time in all this mathas and religious institutions. And so this is only, they think that is stopping our material advancement and stopping India from becoming a developed country. So, I mean, that's what I could get from the history books. I also don't know more than this, but from what we have read accounts of, and we can see that how they had planning commissions, and their whole thing was modernizing the agriculture and modernizing the economy and, putting all their efforts on that. And they found that, that's why Srila Prabhupada says, right, due to the lack of spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge is available, but they did not have, who listened to Srila Prabhupada until he came here and he started ISKCON. Many people were thinking, what is he even doing? Just printing some newspapers and distributing, and nobody paid much attention. So I feel that could be the possible reason.
Yeah.
Maybe actually, the temples were very much neglected at that time.
Yes.
I remember reading an article in 60s, 70s until 80s. The three decades, there was no much crowd in the temples. Even Tirupati, you can just go in like that. It was like that. That generation had that, and also so many atheistic movements came about in politics. They became the rulers, state rulers, and other places also. So, they discouraged people from believing in God and other things. So that was like widespread in many different states. So that's what I read, that after 90s, then, people started, the next generation only, they started going to the temple, renovating and doing everything there. So the political influence also could be a reason. If anyone would like to add, please add to this.
Yeah, yes, Mataji. And Mataji, and another a point I got, another question. After listening to the whole episode of Srila Prabhupada trying to get ticket for Japan, from Mr. Nakano. He's approaching everybody, whoever possibly he's approaching, but he could not get. And in the same line, in the same time, we can see that Ramakrishna Paramahamsa's disciple, Naren, so he got a ticket. How he went to America, how he addressed American people, and how he become popularized throughout, it was went in the newspapers. But we could not see even a glimpse of Srila Prabhupada's glorification newspapers. So he had done so much to the whole world. But even in this episode, is taken in the personality developmental classes, and they tell this episode. But not even a single person talks about Srila Prabhupada in any personality developmental classes. And no glorification about Srila Prabhupada in any newspaper. So how it comes, because Srila Prabhupada is glorifying God and this person is not glorifying, then how this is contradictory, Mataji? I feel so many times these differences. We could not hear Srila Prabhupada's name in any personality development classes. They won't give any example of his, how he has went to America in this old age, how he developed this movement. There is no glimpse at all of his personality in any classes.
Yeah, I've heard one disciple of Prabhupada say this, that, you know, Prabhupada sat on the Vyasasana and accepted puja on behalf of Krishna. Okay, but the way he descended the movement is that everybody knows Hare Krishna, and they worship Radha Krishna, and they know Hare Krishna, you know, the devotee is wearing the thing. But nobody from outside knows that this movement came because of this person, because that's how he made it. He was so humble and unassuming. And he sat on the Vyasasana and took the puja of the disciples, giving him arati in front of Krishna immediately after Darshanarati. But, you know, but how he designed this movement is that unless we come inside, we start chanting, we read Bhagavad Gita. First we read Bhagavad Gita, then we read other things. Then we know, oh, who gave us all this? So this is the humility of Srila Prabhupada. And that's why you know, Krishna wanted to glorify him, not for that time, for 10,000 years to come. The more the time goes, the more, you know, the successive generations will understand what he did. I mean, we can see, right, is how much he's, banging his head against pillar and post to go anywhere only for preaching mission. And daring, he writes to every single person that, please, you know, sponsor me, please do this, please do that. And in spite of it getting denied, he's not discouraged. He's trying another way. So this is exactly Sthita Prajna. If you go, yesterday we were discussing the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So this is how a Sthita Prajna is, completely undisturbed by the success or failure of his attempts, because he's absorbed in the Lord. Whatever the Lord gives, he's taking to him. And also, Guru Maharaj is from, Solna Jayapataka Maharaj, he's from Wisconsin and Chicago, close to Chicago. And that's where this, the famous speech is supposed to be, you know, done by Naren. But he says that nobody knows even that speech happened there, anywhere in Chicago or nowhere else it has been taught about, but it has been popularized so much by that spiritual organization for generations to come. So we can take a clue from that how to genuinely glorify Srila Prabhupada. That's why, you know, ISKCON wants to do something for 125th birth anniversary of Srila Prabhupada, something nice. And, you know, we can think of ways and means. Now they are trying to put his life history, a chapter in the history books. After how long? After 50 years after he left this world, there is some attention given to him. So I think that it is left for us to do, to glorify Srila Prabhupada and then, you know, pass it on to the next generation.
Yes, Mother.
Yes, Mother. I have to add here. Mother, just a moment. Like temples are like Radha Krishna temples everywhere in the in India. There is no Prabhupada's temple, and there is no the name is also ISKCON, like International Society for Krishna Consciousness. There is no name of Prabhupada. Some people say to name this like Prabhupada's mission, but Prabhupada said no. This is Krishna's Krishna Consciousness movement. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. Yes.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you. Yes, now also I see, but we don't see any talk glorification of Prabhupada in public life, Mataji, in social media or anywhere. So that was, I'm wondering, we see no, as Mataji said, Shyamagauri Mataji, there is no exclusively for Srila Prabhupada, anything like that. And that is so true.
Yeah, everywhere Rath Yatra is going on. Everybody knows about Rath Yatra now. Like at least in Chennai, it was in the main streets till now, since the last 30, 40 years. Mm-hmm. Recently, only 2-3 years, they stopped it. So, mm-hmm. We have to glorify now. We have to see the ways and means how people can turn their attention to Srila Prabhupada.
Yes, correct, Mataji. Correct. But thank you so much, Mataji, for giving this wonderful summary of 10th chapter. It was very nice, Mataji. Again, recap is always very sweet. Yeah, Mataji, please go ahead, Mataji.
Also, Mataji, Prabhupada left that work on us, Mataji. It's our job to, glorify Srila Prabhupada and let the whole world know that how Srila Prabhupada is.
Correct. Correct, Mataji. Correct.
Mataji, Hare Krishna, Dhanvat Pranam. So beautiful class and discussion also. Can I add something which came to my mind?
Yes, please, Mataji. Yes, please. Please go.
Yeah, like Shyam Supriya Mataji was saying, like Prabhupada's name, may not be explicitly out there, but I don't think there's too many people out there who don't know Hare Krishna. I mean, Hare Krishna is so popular. I think every nook and corner, everybody, has heard Hare Krishna at some point of time in their life. That speaks volumes for Prabhupada, because he wanted, like you said, Krishna's name out there. And once they see who's Hare Krishna, behind Hare Krishna, naturally it will come to Prabhupada, right? I mean, so one way or the other, Prabhupada wanted to be in, he didn't want to take the front position, but he was always there, spreading Krishna consciousness. And I think that speaks volumes that, I don't know, everybody I meet Hare Krishna's, I mean, at least whatever limited meetings, not that I'm a very social person, but almost everybody knows Hare Krishna. And that itself is a huge credit. We are in news almost every other day for, there are marriages happening in Juhu Temple in Bombay. And so many things, like the biggest Bhagavad Gita in the world was released. I mean, so many things devotees are doing to please Prabhupada. And I think that way Hare Krishna is very popular all around the world. That's how I'm looking at it, Mataji. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. That's a very, very valid observation. That's very true. Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Please accept my humble obeisances and glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Mataji.
Please accept mine, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji, for a beautiful class. Thank you for reminding the chapter. And I like that, that Prabhupada wrote that temples are not apartments. That is such a wonderful realization. I caught that, while reading personally again when you're speaking today. And very wonderfully narrated, Mataji. Thank you so much. Can I also add something to your discussion,
please, Mataji? Please, please, Mataji.
So of course,
everyone is invited to add.
Thank you, Mataji. So we are from Bengal, so we know that the person you are talking, Naren, was definitely more popular, and we have never heard about Srila Prabhupada in our childhood. But, Shamashukriya Mataji was saying that how did he came to America? One thing, he was very rich. He comes from a very rich family. So I don't know if it is his family wealth or it is his fan following, either way. And because my mother is a follower of that institution, so she happened to tell me that after coming here, doing all that stuff, he was sitting inside a cardboard box or whatever. I said, okay, it's okay. I mean, I don't want to know anything of that sort. And then Prabhupada says, like, outside a diamond shop, there will be less crowd. Like, we see plastic everywhere, but not diamonds. right? Plastic is more popular. A child knows how does a plastic look, but not diamond. So, you know, Prabhupada was never compromising. He never changed his dress. He never compromised on his four regulative principles or 16 rounds chanting. And then also he said minimum. And so, you know, whenever something is so worthy, it takes time to become popular. And even if it is not popular, those who know the value of a diamond, they will still appreciate it and they will not fall for plastic. That's what I was thinking, Mataji. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Wonderful, Mataji. That's rightly said. Very, very true. Thank you, Mataji.
Mataji, I just want to add, though Prabhupada, I don't know the sources Mataji told about his background, that, you know, he's from a wealthy background and his connections and things like that. But it's clearly stated in the Leelamrita that he came
not with Srila Prabhupada, Mataji, not Srila Prabhupada.
Uh-huh.
The other person. Yeah, Naren.
Oh, okay, sorry, yeah.
He has his house in Calcutta and etc. So, yeah, he is not Srila Prabhupada. Not talking about
sure,
that. Sorry for the confusion. Yeah.
No, I get that. Thank you, Mataji, for clarifying.
Hare Krishna, Lalitangi Mataji. Beautiful, beautiful presentation, Mataji. Thank you so much. Very nice, such a, you know, small points also you mentioned. I did not know that Sarvapalli Radhakrishnan also did not help Srila Prabhupada. I thought he is like, you know, I know about Nehru and Indira Gandhi. They did not help him at all. But Sarvapalli Radhakrishnan also did not help him. That's a sad part. You know, Prabhupada was seeking help from all the politicians, but nobody helped him.
Very true, Mataji. Yes, you know, it's so moving to read each and every page. We feel like crying, you know, what all efforts he has done. It is like Mahabharata, right? Pandavas are not glorified if there are no struggles for them. So because of each and every struggle of Pandavas, they are more and more glorified, and their culture, their knowledge, their character, their qualities, everything is coming out. So I think Krishna is, putting Prabhupada in all this to show us what kind of a devotee he is. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. I know like Nehru and Indira Gandhi, they did not help him at all, actually. And the one prime minister wanted to help him, that was Lal Bahadur Shastri. Right. But those people, they kill him, and he was about to come to America and see Srila Prabhupada, but that never happened.
Very true, Mataji. That's almost like, you know, the next, from Pakistan, he had to come to America and die. Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Otherwise, if that time we would have got the political support, the movement would have been in different phase now.
Very true. True, yeah.
Hare Krishna, Chilalikati Gopi, Koti Koti Danvat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Kiche. It is difficult to explain your class in 2-3 minutes. With your permission, can I add a little bit?
Oh, Mataji, whether I listen to the class or not, always I listen to your summaries. Because sometimes during the class, I'm here and there and I leave some things. But your summary is so nice. So nice. Thank you, Mataji, by helping us in this way, by giving your summary.
Mataji, you start from Srila Prabhupada ki jai, that Srila Prabhupada is paying ₹5 in Delhi. And from Sridham Vrindavan Dham to Delhi, he is going by train, and then after he is taking a bus. It is not easy at the age of 70. And then he spread back to Godhead print with that, I forgot that person name. And then afternoon time, he take a prasadam. So it is not easy job. Srila Prabhupada is given all the Shishi Bhagavatam, Shishi Bhagavad Gita or Shishi Chaitanya Charitamrita to us. He work hard for that. And then you explained about the Krishna Pandit following her father in a Radha Krishna temple.
Juma Masjid in 1945, India and Pakistan participate. उसका दो भाग हो गए तभी एक साइकिल जा सके इतनी ही देयर इज अ स्पेस अपोजिट द रोड एंड द बालकनी इज टू क्लोज दैट द वन पर्सन इज गो फ्रॉम अनदर वन पर्सन इज गोज टू द अनदर बालकनी टू द जुमा मस्जिद एंड देयर इज अ बैक स्मॉल लैम्प एंड देयर इज अ वेरी स्मॉल रूम एंड ओनली दैट कृष्ण पंडित इज गिवन अ स्मॉल लैम्प एंड स्मॉल टेबल यूज दिस टेबल फॉर Srila Prabhupada write down Srila Bhagavatam. Prabhupada then you explain crowd area, that area is very crowd and Prabhupada leave that that domestic family and so much noise and Prabhupada is translating books and doing japa. Krishna Pandit 1 o'clock at night write and then Srila Prabhupada get up 1 o'clock at night and write down there is a small typewriter and Kesikhat Vrindavan Hari Bhakti Das. So there is some Vaishnava help Srila Prabhupada to spread Krishna consciousness. And then you explain about the late Pandit Jyoti Prasad Ji provided him some paper and help Srila Prabhupada in 1959. The article Easy Journey to Other Planets. And then Ram Naam all over the city. S.B. Chipwada temple, Srila Prabhupada, in Srila Radha Krishna temple, Prabhupada stay and write down Srila Bhagavatam and speak. And then Dr. Banerjee do some kathas in, then Srila Prabhupada go to the Dr. Banerjee's home for a Krishna katha in Sunday, but they are all are very aged and Srila Prabhupada is doing kirtan and harmonium and after Srila Bhagavatam class and very few are appreciate Srila Prabhupada. So this Dr. Banerjee is marked that and how did he they saw Srila Prabhupada with prasadam, but Prabhupada is not taking prasadam outside prasadam. He is given how much give after program take then Prabhupada take little rest and Pandit Nehru different from Gandhi and he is not accepting Srila Prabhupada all the books, especially Srila Bhagavad Gita, and organized religions used to for a criminal purpose. And Prabhupada is given answer so nicely. And Prabhupada explained to read Srila Bhagavatam. But temple, you explain about the temple and institute. Nehru is against about the temples and institute of spiritual movements, and that is very hurt to us that they are not given a respect to spiritual movement. And then they said about Teddy Boy, England, American, Germany, Vaishnava, everybody. Every day, Srila Prabhupada is typing, going to the darshan, and cooking. Cooking prasadam for Shri Radha Madan Mohan, all goes to lotus feet of Shri Bhaktivedan Swami Srila Prabhupada, and all goes to lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. And in Chipwada temple, Prabhupada is staying there and writing a book writing first published book, Shri Bhagavatam, to introduction, and then. There is a no fair. Then Prabhupada wants to go at that time. There is a no WhatsApp and phone, but Prabhupada is writing telegram and he wants to go Japan to preach Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur message. But the fare is 3,000 rupees and Prabhupada is trying too much. And that one devotee is ready to give a South America one way trip. And Prabhupada is request him for this trip, and then Dr. Radha Krishna really replied. Prabhupada tried to Dr. Radha Krishna, but He replied negatively. Then Prabhupada write a letter in a government cannot, and government is not sponsor, and told them to fly. Our government is not sponsor the Japan ticket. And then Srila Prabhupada that time write down, still Srila Prabhupada is so patiently write down Shri Bhagavatam. And Mr. Nakano is the Japan president, if I am wrong, please forgive me. And Japan is, Srila Prabhupada said that Japan is for artistically, for art, and India is for spiritual culture. And Mr. Makano, he write a telegram, but finally, Prabhupada is not able to go to Japan, but still he is not upset. And Srila Prabhupada, write down Bhakti, he followed the instruction of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he write down Shishi Bhagavatam, Shishi Bhagavad Gita, Shishi Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya, he followed the instruction of Chaitanya Charanamrut and Shishi Chaitanya Bhagavat life and his Sankirtan movement. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada especially concert Chaitanya's life and teaching to what he saw as the time in the history. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and there is a Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Vyasa Puja, and Srila Prabhupada just follow the instruction of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Our master said to preach our so Srila Prabhupada told that little Vaishnavas group that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur teach us to spread Krishna consciousness. Our master said to preach in 1961, who should convention and cultivations of human spirit life of Bhagavad Gita. How does one cultivate human spirit harmony and with together in 1962 there are and then all over the and one more in 1962 three years Srila Prabhupada said stay in Gopalji temple and I take only 2 minutes. Vrindavan residence from temple of Shishi Radha Damodar temple, the samadhi of Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, the best is the Ascon Garbasthan. And Srila Prabhupada written Shishi Bhagavatam, and from that the room there is a small window, and from that window Srila Prabhupada take a darshan of Shri Rupa Goswami Samadhi Tarzan, and that is the main place. It's the Garbhasthan of Ascon. So many decisions taken in this Shishi Radha Damodar temples. Srila Prabhupada room, Srila Prabhupada attend Mangala Arati, and then Srila Prabhupada and Vrindavan Dhamvasi Vaishnavas are coming that samadhi, and they said Radhe Radhe, and they come to meet Srila Prabhupada also. Shishi Radha Damodar temple deliver message of Acharya in other part of the world, go to west and preach Shishi Bhagavatam. This is instruction given by Shishi Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. By your permission, at one point that Mataji, all over the world, Brahmacharya are hardly highly qualified. They are like doctors, engineers, and they give their life in the service of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev, Shishi Radha Gopinath, and they came because of COVID, they are not coming, but I have seen in Atlanta every summer they came abroad and teach us about Srila Prabhupada instruction and Srila Prabhupada message. And so many grahastha counselor also come in abroad and teach us Srila Prabhupada message. So there is our Brahmachari is working hard to give a Krishna conscious to all over the world. Hari Bol, Hare Krishna Mataji, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. It is our duty to spread Krishna conscious, whatever our capacity in Hindi or in Gujarati, but it is our responsibility to read Srila Prabhupada book and spread Krishna conscious, whatever possible, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, our Guru Parampara, Srila Gurudev, Shri Gaur Nitai. Thank you, Mataji. Hari Hari Gauranga. That my pranam to your association, Mataji.
Oh, amazing, Mataji. Dandavat pranams to you, Mataji. Amazing, amazing, amazing summary. Exactly, you know. So all the points I really have to learn from you, Mataji. How to value what the speakers are speaking and write down and then repeat. Really, please bless us all, Mataji, by your wonderful association and give us your blessings so we may also follow in your footsteps to listen carefully, learn the value of the lectures and serve C.C. Radha Krishna like in your association, Mataji. Thank you so much. So, yeah.
Mataji, you... Vilasini and Kittal Sundari Mataji are the base of Bhakti Sangha Mataji. Koti koti tanvat pranam to all of you and all.
So many, all of you are working, Mataji, Vinita Mataji, Hindu Mataji, all the other teachers of Govinda class and other classes and Matajis who are working in the technical team, putting out the flyers and everything on time, putting out the messages. So, humble obeisances to all of them, Mataji.
Yes, Mataji, under your guidance, they are doing so.
I'm learning, Mataji. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. What a beautiful class, Mataji. Thank you so much for such a beautiful... Beautiful class, Mataji. Very grateful to you in the last minute. You always have this habit of giving spontaneous class. Today morning, there was one class and again in the evening, in the afternoon, morning, another class. Last time also, last week, there were so many times like there was no speaker and like Hindu Mataji and myself was talking, okay, you call Lalitangi Mataji. Lalitangi Mataji is there. Then there is no problem if there is no speaker.
No, Mataji, I have to prepare, but I did it only yesterday. Thank you, Mataji, for the opportunity. This is so nice because reading Prabhupada Leelamrita is like being with him, right? So nice.
Yeah, thank you, Mataji. I also want to share regarding that point of knowing ISKCON. When first I came to know about this ISKCON in here, and then Rath Yatra in Puri, I never have seen. Maybe in the news headlines, if my parents used to watch that time. But after coming to full-time ISKCON, then I started watching that Puri Rath Yatra, right? That time the speaker who, like the reporters who talks, right? That was, they were telling everything in my language, of course, Telugu. They were trying to tell everything in Telugu and they were showing all the American devotees over there. Look at this, because of Srila Prabhupada, you see all whites here and they are dying inside, but still they are waiting here outside. Then I came to know how glorious it's like, you know, so many people already know about it. And because of that, you know, Jagannath Puri is full of Americans over there, all different color people, not only Indians. It's glorious, Mataji. Only as Mataji said, right, plastic is gone everywhere. Diamond is only for a few people it is there. And my mom always used to say, you know, If a person want to become a bad, it is just a few seconds of time. You know, you just do something, you'll become bad. But to become good, it's hard. It's very, very hard. So it's like, you know, to get this good news to everyone, it takes some time. Bad news is easily spread. It's no need to advertise. It's just advertised by itself. Thank you.
So nice, Mataji. Very, very valuable points you added, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Hi, Krishna Mataji. Namat Pranam.
Oh, Hare Krishna Mataji. Namat Pranam.
Beautiful Mataji. It is like, you know, listening to every detail which you were saying. And, you know, when you were saying that the voice modulation or how you were saying it, it was really emphasizing the important, like everything is, of course, important over there. But then, you know, the struggle, like how, like, yes, from Delhi to Mathura, how the travel is. Like when I was reading through the 8th chapter, that time itself, like how he was through the winters, how Srila Prabhupada was walking. It's really, you know, like you cannot comprehend this in now, this regular time nowadays. with all the amenities which we have. But that time must have been so hard. And that time, I think the climatic conditions also might have been so severe, right? Like, thinking about that also, it just brings chills. And the way you have narrated everything, Mataji, it's really, really, really
I just tried to follow your example, Mataji, how nicely you did your class. So
yesterday,
nice,
yesterday I sat down, you know? Yesterday when Kriti Vilasini Mataji sent that we need a speaker, I literally sat down to read everything. And I think I must have read just half. No. I was nowhere ready. Because for it, you need time, right? You need to listen to classes. So, but at least to get, you know, that makes you at least read something. This is the essence of our, you know, Bhakti Sangha. That from Indu Mataji, you learn that when, you know, you're making poster, that time also she reads the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It is like amazing. And then she reads through the verses and then she makes the posters. So, and our Vinita Gandharvika Mataji, she is an encyclopedia. She knows everything.
Right. Exactly. So everything in fingertips. If you want anything, you can ask her.
So it is like so many things to learn. Our Vrinda Gopika Mataji, like such beautiful summary. Because that's also one sadhana, you know, Vrinda Gopika Mataji. Like doing everything so much dedicatedly and consistently. I think this is what Srila Prabhupada wants from us, right? Like some way our service should be consistent. Anything, whether it is cooking. And I think you are all-rounder. Cooking, serving, classes, everything.
Mataji, you get up morning 4:30, 3:30 and give classes. So, I mean,
no,
listen to you. Koti, Dandavach. I have not seen anyone do that. Monday is your morning Brahma Muhurta time. You are up and you before that also, and you are amazing, Mataji. This is
so, Mataji, please pray that every day I should be able to get up. I'm lazy. I'm become a lot lazy over here, waiting for all your association. Thank you, Mataji. Beautiful class, and I will again complete what I left out yesterday. But I'll read it at least in this 2 to 3 days.
I thought maybe I shouldn't hurried.
No. I was nowhere ready. I'm just reading it for my
next time. I will
for
wait.
Giving, for giving class, it is, you know, it is one dedication that you have to read so many things. You should know.
You
so
have
many
that
things.
150%, Mataji. So no doubt.
No, Mataji, you know, sometimes you have, as you feel like, you know, in Krishna consciousness, 24 hours are not enough. And that
you are
so true.
You are our known superwoman here.
No. You all are way, way up, Mataji. I'm just at the, I told Kirtira Sundari Mataji, right? You all hold on to Srila Prabhupada's dhoti and I will hold on to your pallu.
No.
And then we will all travel.
You are up in the line, yeah. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So we will end, Mataji?
Yeah, sure, Mataji. Sure. Thank you so much, Laltangi Mataji, for this wonderful summary, Mataji. And lastly, I want to add one point, Mataji, that was amazed about Srila Prabhupada's presence of mind in the world also. Not only he's a spiritual man, he is always knowing about the things around the world, not only in our country, around the world. You have taken the names of people throughout the world who are spoiling the culture of God consciousness. That is also fantastic, Mataji. We can see how Srila Prabhupada is having this consciousness, what is going around the world also. That is wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, again. Mataji. Sorry to interrupt, nice. Mataji. I just wanted to say one thing. When you said that, you know, Prabhupada left it for us to make him popular, I was also thinking, when we go through this, you know, Srila Prabhupada Lilamrit, we can make our children also read so that they know how valuable this movement is and how fortunate they are. Like saying Jai Srila Prabhupada is so easy, but when we read it, it gets imprinted in our heart what he did for us. Nobody in 1,000 lifetime, any parent would have done it for us, like what Prabhupada has done. So, and this gratefulness comes when we ourselves read. So, as soon as our children can start reading, they should read Srila Prabhupada Lila Amrit so that they can be very attached to Srila Prabhupada since their childhood and be grateful and feel fortunate and should not feel that they're being forced into Krishna consciousness. So, I was just thinking that.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Mataji.
Jai. That's very, Jai. Very valid point, Mataji. Yeah, maybe we can ask our kids class teachers to, I mean, use these PowerPoints that's already done, and then maybe we can start for kids also. Nice, Mataji. Very nice.
Hare Krishna, Lalitanji Mataji.
Wow. Our backbone,
Mataji. At the very last minute. Thank you so much for such a beautiful explanation of this chapter. Very, very wonderful class. And everyone had such interesting points to share. One thing that I definitely can take from Srila Prabhupada's life and his intense effort is that no matter what obstacles he faced, he was just determined, just push on, you know, just constantly one letter after another, he kept sending. Such so much determination and so much faith that in his Guru Maharaj that, okay, yes, this is what my Maharaj has said. You know, Guru Maharaj always tells us, just follow the instructions. Guru Maharaj has given us instructions. We need to try and follow them. Not even able to follow 1% of what he is asking. And over here, Srila Prabhupada has taken his Guru Maharaj's words as his life, and he is just... he is just so determined to somehow make it, get to the West, get to Japan, go and preach. And for preaching, he didn't matter where he is, small place, doing so much of work, typing all throughout the day. Thank you so much for putting in the effort to explain and teach us about this, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
How can I thank you, Mataji, for bringing out the essence in one line? And, you know, giving us what is our take-home lesson. Thank you, Mataji. Hari, Hari, Bol.
Mataji, just 1 second. Can you please share in a Bhakti Sangha that Srila Prabhupada has written that poem? That is, Mataji, the tears is not stopped when we read that poem. If it is possible, if all Vaishnavas permission, can you please read that poem or send it in a Bhakti Sangha group?
The poem that he wrote on his Guru Maharaj Vyas Bhuja. Yes, yes. It is there in... I'll send it, Mataji.
Hmm. And even our small Laddu Gopal Radha Gopi can hear that poem by Mother Vrinda's, Akshita's Mother Vrinda and our Vinita Gandharvi Mataji. They teach that poem.
Yes, yes, Mataji. Yeah.
Yeah, once again, Mataji, thank you so much, Mataji. So I think, shall we end the class, Mataji?
Yes, Mataji. Thank you all so much.
Okay. Vancha kalpatarubhyasya krupa sindhu vyahevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Ananta koti vaishnav vrinda ki jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Prabhupada lilamrita ki jai. Her grace, Lalitanji Mataji ki jai. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much.
Very much, Mataji. Closing the call, dear devotees. Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.